What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire Interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
That was Gnarls Barkley with their song Crazy, right here on First Degree Liberty with Chase Rachels and Mike Martelli. I'm Mike, and on today's show, Chase and I are going to ask the question, are libertarians crazy? It seems like every time there's a terrorist attack, libertarians jump on the bandwagon of government conspiracy. Does that make us crazy? Is it weird to question the government? Are we just nuts and following whatever Alex Jones says? Or do we really think about these things and question the official stories? Keep it locked in right here for an answer to that question. Now, get ready for episode 23 of First Degree Liberty. Are libertarians crazy?
You know, in the past few weeks, with a couple things going down from, tax day on April 15th, of course, you know, that's a day that always gets libertarians upset. It's just a reminder of how unfree we are. But then also comes now this terrorist attack in Boston. And as a libertarian, as somebody who questions authority to begin with, I generally... My default position is whatever the state tells me is a lie, and I'm not going to take it for face value. So after the terrorist attack, of course, you know that whatever happens, conspiracy theory or not, the state is going to use this event to gain more power and more authority over us and kill more civil liberties. So my first reaction is, okay, they're going to use this event to gain more power. Okay. But then I also know, knowing the history of this country and knowing the history of rogue elements within the government, going way back to, you know, the 1960s with Operation Northwoods, where the CIA had planned to hijack American airliners and blame it on the Cubans. Now, these are all declassified documents. You can look them up. But here's the problem, right? If I say something like that, like Operation Northwoods, look it up, to your average statist, that sounds like complete crazy talk. So, you know, knowing, and of course, I lived through 9/11 here in New York City, so I don't believe the official stories because they're such, you know, they're rushed. They never do a quality investigation. Like with 9/11, they tried so quickly to get out the investigation, the 9/11 report. They ignored a lot of evidence. They didn't have time to deal with evidence. And from what we know, they destroyed a lot of the evidence within the first few months. So, you know, of course it's going to lend, the ability for conspiracy theories to come out. And of course, you know, knowing what I know about the world and how it works, I'm very skeptical about these things, especially when they come out so perfectly. So my question is on today's show is, are we libertarians and liberty-minded conspiracy theorists, whatever you want to call us, are we crazy, or is there some legitimacy to, you know, our fears and our concerns?
Yeah, Mike. Well, you know, I think that's a great question, and I think that's a good question for anyone to ask themselves periodically from time to time. I think it's healthy to try to take a step back and really try to reassess and reevaluate what it is you're doing, what it is you believe in, and why you believe in it, and why you're doing it. And so I think it's a good opportunity for us to do this now in the wake of the Boston bombing. Now, of course, I am always being skeptical of whatever the official story is, when it's coming from the government or through mass media chains. Very, very skeptical. And as a libertarian and as someone who has done research into past events which have shown government agents colluding with other people in order to create false flag attacks, and Asian provocateurs being headed into peaceful protests to justify, you know, harsh crackdowns, and, you know, all these sorts of things. I'm always very, very interested in taking a deep look into events like the Boston bombing and things like the Sandy Hook school shooting and whatnot. And what's funny is the first tip-off, I believe, that you have so that something strange is going on is not really in the event itself, you know, because, you know, stabbings and murders happen every day, which we don't know about, we don't investigate. It's the very fact that they get publicized and how they're publicized, which I think is the first tip-off, right? And even the press secretary, when I was watching the video today, had already called this person in custody a terrorist, right? You know, with the Boston bombing, before there was any trial, in any sort of attempt to put him through any sort of due process. He's already a terrorist. You see, whether it's fitting the actual legal definition of martial law or not, there is definitely a semblance of martial law in Boston. SWAT teams, fully armored, going house to house, telling people not to look outside their windows or to go outside their homes, going to their houses without warrants and searching the areas. I mean, this is some form of conditioning, I believe. And I think that there are also, National Guard or some sort of military presence there checking people's IDs and such.
Right, right.
So, honestly, it's these are things that actually happen. The things I just talked about are actual facts. This stuff actually happened in pursuit of a person or two people who may have been responsible for a bombing that killed two people and injured several others. I mean, you didn't see this kind of reaction when Sandy Hook happened, and there were scores of people killed there. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, even if there was this kid who they say is the person that is guilty of this, even if he is guilty of it, this does in no way justify the kind of measures they took as far as going to people's houses unannounced and raiding their homes and telling them to stay inside, not look outside the windows. I saw pictures to where guys were pointing their guns at people, taking pictures at their windows.
See, this is where, I'm sorry to jump in, but this is where I get frustrated, is because whenever we encounter a situation like this, I feel like, you know, we are very diligent in finding some evidence to back it up. And sure enough, you know, right as this was coming out, people along the marathon route were alerting officials to the fact that there were some nefarious things going on. Now, so, you know, of course they're called, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. But then photos surface of sketchy-looking military-type dudes in matching uniforms with black backpacks that happen to match the description the FBI releases of the backpacks that held the bombs. So, you know, we're looking at this and saying, well, okay, we need, if this is going to be a true investigation about what's going on, you need to look at all the evidence. You can't just say, well, we know exactly what's going on. Obviously, the FBI has no idea what's going on. It's in the early stages of an investigation. But what concerns me is that they know right away, right? Like you were getting at, they know right away what's going on with this, who the suspect is, all this stuff. But they have not looked at all this other evidence. And in fact, they even go so far as to tell you, that evidence doesn't exist. And here's where I feel crazy. When I see photographs coming from multiple sources around the internet of eyewitnesses taking photographs of these military-type dudes, okay, and the government goes so far as to say, you didn't see that. Those guys weren't there. They don't exist. You're crazy. What is it? Like, why are they lying about it? Why are they covering it up? Is it just to make us feel crazy that all of a sudden now, you know, there's some doubt in the minds and we're going to look like nut jobs?
Right. Well, again, you got to think about the psychology of the situation. And the psychology of the situation is that most of us, not all of us, but most of us are raised under the tutelage of the government in their public schools. We go there for the most impressionable years of our life between the ages of like 5 or 6 to like 18. Well, not the most impressionable, but some of the most impressionable. We're taught by teachers employed by the state, or talked about what the purpose of government is and why it's necessary and what it does for us. And then most of us get out of public school and we go to college under some sort of grants or student loans backed by the government. And then we're here told to vote for whoever needs to be voted for and talked about the issues, but always in the context of should the government do X or Y, never should the government not do anything at all. So, right. I mean, you think about these things, and then you look at all the news channels you have on the TV, and they're all just reporting whatever the government is telling them to report. And if they report something different than that or contrary to that, you see people like that CNN anchor getting canned.
Right.
You know, so of course, when all the media and all the supposed so-called credible institutions like the state or the mass media are saying one thing, to say anything else does automatically make someone who's been indoctrinated in the system feel like you're crazy. Because all they see is, I know these are the institutions meant to protect us, meant to inform us, and this nut job here is speaking out against it. He's saying that that's something else, and wow, how does he think that he knows more than these people who do this professionally, than the right. government whose job is to protect us? So they just automatically dismiss you, and it's really sorrowful. I want to ask, what if most everyone else is crazy? What if we're just the only sane ones, you know? Because they're never even asking themselves if they're crazy in the first place. I think the fact that we ask ourselves if we're crazy is an indication that we're not, you know?
Right. We know. You're right. The self-reflection is important. You know, I try to ask people to that, too. Why do you believe an institution that has all the incentive to lie to you? I mean, here's the thing, right? We don't ever address this. Well, I mean, we do as libertarians, but the sort of masses don't address this as, you know, the government has all the incentive. Now, this could be a legitimate act. Let's go, you know, in fact, from now on, I'm just going to assume that the official story is correct, because it doesn't change the fact that the government is still going to benefit tremendously from this event. They stand to gain a lot in power. Look, I mean, we've now accepted martial law as a norm. This first happened a couple of months ago when the government was chasing that guy Chris Dorner in California. Now, he was one cop who ended up killing three people, and this one guy was on the loose for a couple of days, and they basically had another martial law type reaction where they had militarized police on the streets, you know, going door to door, and as a matter of fact, they actually shot a lot of innocent people in the process of looking for this one guy. But what does the general population see is that that's justified. We need to get this one guy before he goes on a mass killing spree and hurts more people. Meanwhile, the cops are actually hurting more innocent people, but that scene is justified. And this is where, you know, we start to feel crazy again, because we're like, well, wait a minute. The whole point of that argument is that we have to get this one guy so he doesn't inflict harm on other people. But at the same time, it's okay for the police, for the state, to inflict harm on other people as long as they get that one guy. Fast forward to, you know, Patriots Day, April 15th, when this bombing happens in Boston, the same reaction is used again, even to a higher degree now. Now the government is telling people, don't go out of your house. Don't leave your house. Don't look out the window. Don't do anything. And they use, you know, weapons of war, which Mr. Obama is supposed to be against, right? He said weapons of war have no place on the streets of our cities. Meanwhile, here we are, you know, these, as my friend Xavier put it, these, you know, soldiers and cops in their Ninja Turtle outfits, you know, out there with their armor, their heavy body armor and their machine guns, going door to door, terrorizing people. There's a photo of these armed guards, these goons. All right, maybe I won't. Let's not editorialize. These armed police with their machine guns, pointing their guns at a family with little children. That's terrorizing the children. It's terrorizing the people of Boston to find this one guy. Now, who ends up being found only when they lift the martial law, and a citizen is able to leave his house and find that this guy was hiding out in his boat. So yeah. It's a complete overreaction. And in our previous episode, when we had I had a conversation with Eric, the prosecutor, he agreed as well that this was an overreaction by the state. But now that overreaction has been done twice, it's now common. The next time something happens where they need to chase down one guy and they shut down a city with martial law, people are just going to be like, well, that's what happens. And it's become so normalized now that people aren't shocked by it.
Well, that's the conditioning aspect of it, Mike. And what we need to do is just take a step back and let's all analyze this. We need to realize who are the individual actors involved on both sides of the equation, on the state side and on the citizen side. What are they? We are all human beings. We're all human beings. We're all human beings. We're all predisposed to the same sort of impulses and desires. We all have a general thirst for wealth and power and influence and sex and pleasure, whatever form it takes, maybe some charity and love and compassion, you know. We're a mixture of these things, and we all kind of desire those things to some degree or another because we're human. So what we try to do is, as a society, we look at these attributes and we say, wow, greediness can be a bad thing. Lust for power can be a bad thing. This desire to control and dominate others is a bad thing. We need some sort of protection from this stuff. And I don't know what happened. Something short-wired in their brain, and they said, let's make this place called government to protect us from these evil desires. But they didn't realize that, I don't know why they didn't think about this, they're occupying it with humans. They're occupying the position of power with humans. All they've done is given some people some powers which none of the citizens can have, but only they can have. And these powers include being able to threaten people with force, being able to take money for them for services they think they should provide. And not only are they saying you have to pay this for these services, but we get to determine the scope of the services and the price of them, et cetera, et cetera. So you fast forward and you ask what the relevance of this whole evaluation is to the Boston bombing, is the fact that, look, are there terrorists in the world? Of course. Are there bad people with nefarious intentions? Of course. The bombing is an indication of this. But if we're going to sit here and act like that any sort of idea that there might be some conspiracy occurring or there might be something that's very devious going on within the state, I forgot my train of thought, but basically that should be having equal consideration as the considerations that a private citizen did it or a citizen of another country did it, because we're all human beings. Because we need to see the incentive structure actually for the state is much greater than this other person. You look at the motive, like Columbo, you ask the dumb questions. What's the motive for the state to do this? Well, if the state does this, it creates another precedent of, like you said, Mike, using their police and military powers to shut down citizens and restrict freedom of movement. And it's conditioning us. It is conditioning us. You're so right. It's conditioning us to just sit here and take it under the name of safety when we don't realize that the most dangerous threat to us is the protectors themselves, the state itself, man.
Now, here's a thought that just clipped in my mind, and of course this is going to sound batshit crazy to all the statists out there, is, well, if a terrorist uses the threat of violence to terrorize people with, to change for some political goal, well, doesn't that fit the state? I mean, look at what the state's doing. If the state loves this fear because it can grow and gain more power. Every time the citizens are afraid of some, you know, Muslim guy with a backpack and a pressure cooker, now, you know, they get to sit here and go, yes, now we get to get more power. You know, I'm just thinking like Henry Kissinger voice, because that to me would be like the ultimate evil villain. Like, yes, now my foreign policy is complete. You know, and looking at this, it doesn't matter. You know, forget about it. Inside job or not, it doesn't matter. Like you said, they're going to exploit this thing because they stand to benefit. Now, here's an interesting thing to consider. there's even more, you know, we talk about the military-industrial complex. Often the left criticizes that, you know, their criticism is, it's valid in this case, where they say that the state is going to perpetrate wars so that they can keep funding the military-industrial complex. So military contractors who sell planes and weapons and tanks and all that stuff, they want the state to go to war because then they can sell their goods that normally wouldn't be sold anywhere else, because who's going to want to spend, you know, a quarter of $1 billion on a warship?
Yeah. Well, that's one side. The other side is if they go to war, they're applying coercive pressure on their nations and the governments of other nations to subordinate their will and their agenda to our own, which again increases our power. Now, the state, you have to realize, people, the state doesn't just do what some sort of magic piece of paper says it can do. It doesn't operate within the confines of this law.
Obviously.
A law by which is arbitrary in itself and is unjust in itself, but even so, it still doesn't even confine itself to those parameters. The fact is, the state does what you let it do. And it's in the state interest to allow these attacks to occur, or to be not very reactive to these attacks, and to exploit these attacks as a means to scare you, to give you a reason why you might think you need them to protect you. And the more they scare you, and the more they try to ask for more powers to fight these supposed terrorists and dangers to society with, the more power they're going to want, and the more they're going to exercise it over you. And every ounce of power this state has, and that it gains, is another ounce of liberty lost for you. It's inversely proportional. You have to see that. And the more they get, the more they're going to want, because power is fucking addictive. Many studies show that the political office stimulates the same areas of the brain, which are stimulated by using different opiates and drugs alike, which are also very addictive. It's a very addictive thing. And not only is it addictive, the fucking sociopaths are fucking attracted to this shit, because they have no scruples. They have no morals. They can say anything what they think you want to hear with a straight face and just laugh about it later. Even if there are some good people in power, they're way outweighed by the sociopaths, and the good people are going to be corrupted by this coercive power. It's destructive. It's poison, man. It's poison. This power is poison.
This reminds me of that line from V for Vendetta, where the Chancellor is screaming, "We need to remind them why they need us." And that's precisely what happens, false flag or not. They're going to stand on their soapbox and they're going to scream about how we should be afraid of Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda and whatever terrorist group du jour, because now we have to be afraid of the Chechens.
Oh, they're still saying it's the Chechens?
I don't know how you say it.
Chechens. Yeah.
You know? Like, this is insane. We got to be afraid of everything. And we all know. This is common knowledge. Statistically, like 50 people around the world every year die of terrorist attacks. You're much more likely to die choking on your own vomit, slipping and falling in the bathtub, getting stung by Africanized bees and dying.
Getting killed by a cop.
Yeah, exactly. Getting killed by a cop. I mean, especially if it's the NYPD. Those fuckers can't shoot a goddamn thing, except for innocent people.
Exactly.
That's all they can shoot is innocent people. It's like their bullets have homing beacons on them, like innocent people seeking beacon bullets. But yeah, they can't. And then also, we should also look at this. Okay, can they protect us from this threat? Let's assume, just for the sake of this argument, that there is an Al Qaeda out there that's looking to destroy America because America is free, and they saw Britney Spears' boobs on TV. Yeah, whatever the argument is, can they protect us? No, they can't, because statistically it's just impossible. Because all it takes is one guy with one pressure cooker, and that's all you need for a terrorist attack. They would need a TSA agent on every street corner checking every single bag. It would just be absolutely impossible. Now, mind you, this is a tactic also by terrorists, is if you create this state of fear in your enemy's country, what that's going to do is that's going to force them to
First Degree Liberty is experiencing some technical difficulties. Please remain seated. Keep your arms and legs inside the ride vehicle at all times. Your adventure into liberty will resume shortly.
Oh yeah, so they can't protect you. They would have to have a TSA agent on every single corner looking through every backpack. And, you know, if there really are terrorists out there, they can see that and see to realize that all they have to do is do one bombing every 10 years and that country is going to go into panic mode and they could bankrupt a society. So we could be exactly playing right into the hands of Al-Qaeda. I mean, that was bin Laden's stated goal, was to bankrupt the United States by dragging them into a foreign war that's going to keep going perpetually. And also by creating this state of fear in which, you know, people are going to spend lots of money and resources trying to protect against.
Now, what that theory, Mike, one man in the desert being able to successfully dupe the largest and most powerful government in the world from bankrupting itself is a much more far-fetched fucking theory than the government itself.
I know. I was trying to be...
interests And actually seeing this happen so they can expend their powers and money, either being complicit with or conducting this attack itself. Because I hate that fucking shit. Like, oh, the government isn't competent enough to do something like this. No, you idiot. The government isn't competent doing what it says it's going to do, but it's very competent at what it's actually trying to do. You know, it's actually trying to expand power and exploit your rights. It just says it's trying to protect you and provide you good services. So, no, they're really very competent, and there's a lot of very powerful and intelligent people on there that have some amazing connections that can do some incredible things. And even if they fuck it up, they know how to use the fucking group psychology in the media to make people convinced that nothing bad did happen.
Well, here's a great example of that. Michael Chertoff, the former head of Homeland Security, ordered this gigantic order of the naked body scanners. You know, this is a multi-billion-dollar or multi-million-dollar contract out there. And guess who he works for now? The same company that makes the naked body scanners. And he's making a killing. Making millions off of this.
Oh,
so, yeah,
these
people know exactly what they're doing. They're exploiting the rest of us and exploiting us using fear. But now here's the problem. When you confront the average, you know, citizen with this and you tell them, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're being exploited, they react with a kind of anger. And then ultimately resort to calling you a conspiracy theorist.
Right. Now, we got to be very clear what we're talking about here. When we say they or them or whatever, we're not talking about the fucking DMV girl behind the counter. We're not even talking about the regular soldier. We're not even talking about most of the federal congressmen either. We're talking about a very select few, perhaps congressmen or senators, in certain committees with certain ties to corporations. We're talking about the people in the Bilderberg groups, the Vanderbilts, the Rothschilds, the Morgans. We're talking about the central bankers, the people who actually finance and control the wealth of the world and decide where it goes and to whom does it go to. These are the people we're talking about, not just some Joe Shit the Ragman congressman, people who have actually are really deeply embedded and deliberately picked to be in the Senate and the Congress for a reason. I mean, so it's a small minority of people within the government and people in the world, but they just have an immense amount of power and influence, whether it's through owning media moguls or through being heads of megacorps or banks or top tiers of the government. It doesn't matter. They own the top strings and they can delegate their orders down. And they're the ones making the strategy. The people below them, they just see the particular orders they want and the bullshit reason why they want them, and that's what they go with. So that's why most people don't think it's a conspiracy or think it's bullshit, because most government workers are in the same boat. They don't think it is either. They don't realize what they're doing.
Right. It's compartmentalization. The guy at the bottom, the guy running, you know, the woman at the DMV counter, it doesn't understand the whole system, and that's part of the thing. Even her upper managers don't understand, you know, what's going on. But, you know, here's another thing with the Bilderberg Group, right? You talk about them, and for those of you who don't know what they are, it is a meeting that happens with the world's elite,
like the elite of the elite, Prince Charles, Bill Clinton, the Queen of England, the Queen of the Netherlands, all the heads of all the major banks, the heads of all the major media outlets as well, you know, ABC, the Disney Corporation, even Mark Zuckerberg and all these people, they meet in secret once a year in Europe and in the United States. They alternate, and they meet in secret. Now, of course, you're called a conspiracy. Oh, well, maybe they're just meeting to play bingo. I highly doubt that. The world's most powerful and influential people meeting in one spot in secret, not allowing any cameras, not allowing anything like that, in violation of law, too. The United States law says that active, you know, duty senators and congressmen can't meet to discuss world politics with foreign leaders, but yet they do that. Now, we're called, oh, you crazy conspiracy theorists, that doesn't exist. And then every year, the activists go out and they film these very people, Brzezinski, the Clintons, the Obama, and even Mitt Romney going to these meetings. And they film them every year, and they're there protesting and showing the world what's going on. But even with that evidence, even when you show, you know, Henry Kissinger showing up in a limousine, laughing at all the protesters, it doesn't matter. That's still a conspiracy theorist. And this is where I go mad, is that we do have the evidence now. Every time I argue with somebody, they're always like, well, show me the proof, show me the evidence. And I do show them the evidence, and it's never good enough. It's never good enough. You could have I'm convinced, you could have a video where George W. Bush gets on YouTube and says, yeah, you know, and 9/11 was an inside job. And people would just say, that never happened, you're a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't matter what level of evidence we have. People are in this confirmation bias where they just don't want to know.
But flip that around, though. Flip it around.
Yeah.
How much evidence do they need to believe what the state says or the media says?
Nothing.
You know what they need? They just need to know that the state said it. That's
yes.
All they need.
Yes.
That's all they need.
Anderson Cooper said it, therefore it's true.
If they applied half, or fuck it, they applied a tenth of the skepticism to what the state says and what the mass media says, as it do to what we say as a libertarian position, then this government would already be pretty much disbanded by now.
Right.
I mean, it's no, it would all crumble. Even a tenth. I mean, it's incredible how on the surface these contradictions are. It's like they're just putting it in our face. It's so obvious, so many of these things. We're not speaking here with a huge amount of technical knowledge. We're just using common sense. We're just using the motive evaluation, see who's benefiting from what and what is there to gain on both sides. We're just using logic, you know?
Right, and they'll say something like, "Don't believe, you just believe everything that Alex Jones says." Meanwhile, you know, they're retweeting everything that Anderson Cooper says or Piers Morgan says like it's fact. You know, when Piers Morgan gets on TV and completely lies through his teeth, and you can fact check him with a quick Google search, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. He could get up there and say that, you know, that it was aliens that were responsible for the Boston bombing. And you know what? I guarantee you, people would be like, yep, yeah, it's got to be aliens, those goddamn aliens. You know? Like, now we need to take your guns because the aliens came down and bombed Boston. You know, it doesn't matter. And that's I think, why we're considered crazy, is because, you know, we're challenging the status quo. We're just putting some skepticism in there, and we're pointing out where other people are not being consistent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's all it is. It's just applying, you know, certain ideas and logical concepts universally.
Right.
I think most people are logical. It's just they just choose not to apply the same logic to the state or to the media because they already accept it before they question it. It's an immediate and unthinking acceptance.
Now, what if we're doing that, though? What if we're looking at everything that CNN puts out and just saying, it's just bullshit, without even, you know, paying attention to what they're actually saying?
Oh, well, I really don't think we are, because I think that we argue with each other so much that that's kind of an impossibility. You know, there's many libertarians who they call themselves the skeptical libertarians or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't say anything until they know for certain. But I like to, of course, evaluate and speculate, because
I have to work on the information that I have, right?
Right.
So, but anyways, no, I don't think we're crazy. I really do listen to the main news reports. I just compare and contrast with alternative sources, and alternative sources tend to be more backed and make more sense, you know, and they tend to also evaluate the mass media says too, and not just their own shit. So yeah, right. I think we do a good job of being objective.
Right, and that's sort of another aspect I wanted to examine was that everybody that I've ever met in the Liberty Movement listens to mainstream media. I do it every morning. I don't know why I torture myself, but I do know because I want to make sure that I'm not just, you know, reading LouRockwell.com and believing everything that I read there without looking it up for myself. But we're a different breed of people. We question, we look up, we research. You know, there's the sort of running joke that we're kind of walking encyclopedias because we remember all this random shit. We could tell you some bullshit thing that happened in 1865 or how anarchy worked in, you know, ancient Ireland and all this stuff, but, you know, the average person's not going to pay attention to any of that stuff. And certainly, even though information is so easy to get, all it takes is Google and a few words typed in on a keypad, and that's it. And you've got a wealth of information at your fingertips, but most people just won't do it. And they look to the media, the mass media, as a kind of shorthand for their thinking. You know, like, if I watch Anderson Cooper, I understand the world's politics. You know, I don't need to look at anything else. I don't have time. I don't care because Dancing with the Stars is on, and then I got to watch Honey Boo Boo after that.
Even the people who do kind of pay attention to the news and are somewhat interested, they're usually just parroting whatever they hear on there, just because they feel like that's the cultured thing to think. You know, whatever is the most who has the kind of stigma as a journalist or as media mogul or whatever, whoever has the reputation that aligns with what they want to be at most, they just kind of parrot what they say. They don't really look into it any deeper. And I feel like we all look into it deeper. We don't just parrot things and memorize facts. We try to understand things conceptually, apply logic to things, and we critically think about the issues.
Right.
You know? So I think it's a much more substantive understanding of this than it's the kind of shallow memorization that most even so-called interested populace has.
You know, I realize this might actually sound arrogant, too, of us saying this, but, you know, I think that I've had enough conversations with statists in the last few weeks to understand that they don't critically look at things. They just sort of parrot, like you said.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's unfortunate because we're living in a world today where information has never been easier to get. And, you know, the alternative media has been doing such a great job of exposing a lot of this stuff that we would never have heard of before. I mean, who would have ever imagined hearing about things like Fast and Furious, which the Obama administration sold weapons to the Mexican drug cartels? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, back in the 1980s, it was a huge deal when the Reagan administration was selling weapons to the Contras. That became this gigantic scandal. You know, now the same thing goes on, and you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, even though Eric Holder pretty much admitted to the whole thing. You're still a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
and it's almost like denial, like. Like, people are aware now, the arguments have been made that the state is force, the state uses fear to terrorize the public. It's almost like the public is like a battered wife just denying that her husband beats her. You know, that's kind of the feeling I get out of this, is that, no, they're not bad, they're just, you know, they mean... Oh, this reminds me of Stefan Molyneux's argument that the state is really a reflection of the family. And I think this makes perfect sense when you look at it this way, that, you know, the state is mommy and daddy. So, and mommy and daddy have your best interest in mind, and sometimes they do things, well, you know, it's only for your good that they do these things. And, of
right.
course, we're taught that in public schools, government schools. I mean, the government, we should probably start calling it for what it is. The government educates, quote-unquote, educates the public
And then, you know, we kind of get upset when the public looks at the state as this great thing. Of course it's going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's definitely the authoritarian cycle. It starts at home with authoritarian parenting, and then kids, it's the authoritarian dictates of their teachers, and then finally of their congressmen and of the police and whatever. So he's got to break it with peaceful parenting, teaching them reason and rationality, right? So I like the family analogy, too. So anyways, Mike, I can't think of anything else to talk about on this subject. Do you have anything else you want to say before we end it?
Yeah, I want to sort of end this with a reflection on what we're doing. What is it that our purpose is? You know, when I post a video or a link about, you know, whether or not these acts of terror are false flags, my goal is to warn the people, to warn my friends, to warn the public, whoever's interested in listening, is that bad things are going to happen. And the worst thing that we can do right now is give up our freedoms and our liberties to the state. Because historically and statistically, the state has killed more people than any terrorist group, than any other thing. I mean, you look at the entire 20th century, over 200 million people killed by their own governments. We have more to fear from our own government than anything else. And, of course, that's some of the things that the Founding Fathers understood in the way, you know, they built the system that we have. If you believe the story, the propaganda is that it was designed to give some power to the people as a check over the government, because government power left uncontrolled gets out of control and goes nuts. But we have historical facts and precedent. The problem is people think it's never going to happen here. So we try desperately to point out that these things can happen here, and we're slowly sinking into this black uniformed Ninja Turtle outfit, you know, machine gun carrying police state, and we're warning people desperately, and people are just not paying attention because they think it's crazy. But what happens if we're right? You know, and I've been thinking about this, like, we as liberty-minded people are going to have a lot of empathy towards our state as friends. Because one day from now, it may not even be in our lifetime, it may be in the near future, who knows? You know, things are going to get really bad. The state is going to grow and get out of control, as it always does in the history of any time governments are tried. This same story happens over and over again. And we're going to have some sympathy, because there's going to be a time and place in which our statist friends are going to come to us and say, you know what, you guys are right. And it's going to take a lot of willpower not to just jump in their face and say, I fucking told you so.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, man.
And what if we are right? At what point is it going to take for the average person to realize that the state is an evil organization? Is it going to take being on a boxcar on the way to a concentration camp?
Yeah, it's going to take something close to that, at least after the economic collapse, right?
Yeah, but by then it's too late. There's nothing we can do.
I know, I agree. We can't save everyone. We can only save ourselves and as many people as we can convince.
Let your head down, baby, and slip that dirty nightgown on. Let your head down, baby, and slip your dirty nightgown on. Now let me stare at you, baby, till I don't know right from wrong. Now the doors are locked, pretty baby, and there's no one else around. Pour yourself a little more wine and turn the TV way down. 'Cause nothing in the world matters to me but you and your dirty nightgown. Now your heart's been broken,
baby, mine's been broken too. But there's no need to be bitter about dreams that didn't come true. 'Cause we're older and wiser, and that dirty nightgown looks good on you. Up the window shade and let that full moon shine on it. Then let me feel your dirty nightgown crushed against my skin. Some folks pray for salvation, and some folks pray for hell. Some folks pray for world peace, while some just pray for more wealth. I just pray for you and your dirty nightgown. I don't care about nothing else. Your head down, baby, and slip your dirty mouth.